Don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't have a sense of humor. And here we are together again. This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. I just came in from my afternoon walk, almost 2 miles, which isn't a lot, but I'm doing a little more each day. Gotta take care of the old ticker, right? I used to do 5 miles, but then I got too busy. That was a mistake. So that's my goal, 5 miles. I'm too old to run, and besides, I've always said that if God had wanted us to run, He would have given us hooves. I hate to run. All right, well, let's get serious, sort of. Since today's Tuesday, we're going to read from one of the books of history. Today, we're going to read 1 Kings 14 through 18, and of course, after the reading, I will have some comments. I'm calling today's episode, Anybody in There? The show notes page for today's episode is lifespringmedia.com/S12E174. And of course, you can always email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Let's get started.
1 Kings chapter 14. At that time, Abijah the son of Jeroboam became sick. Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise now and disguise yourself so that they will not know that you are the wife of Jeroboam. And go to Shiloh. Behold, Ahijah the prophet is there, who spoke concerning me, that I would be king over this people. Take 10 loaves with you, some cakes and a jar of honey, and go to him. He will tell you what will happen to the boy." Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. Now Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were dim because of his age. Now the Lord had said to Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam is coming to inquire of you concerning her son, for he is sick. You shall say thus and thus to her, for it will be when she arrives that she will pretend to be another woman." When Ahijah heard the sound of her feet coming in the doorway, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam. Why do you pretend to be another woman? For I am sent to you with a harsh message. Go, say to Jeroboam, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people, and made you leader over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David, and gave it to you, yet you have not been like my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do only that which was right in my sight. You also have done more evil than all who were before you, and have gone and made for yourself other gods and molten images, to provoke me to anger, and have cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I am bringing calamity on the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam every male person, both bond and free in Israel, and I will make a clean sweep of the house of Jeroboam, as one sweeps away dung until it is all gone. Anyone belonging to Jeroboam who dies in the city, the dogs will eat, and he who dies in the field, the birds of the heavens will eat, for the Lord has spoken it. Now you, arise, go to your house. When your feet enter the city, the child will die. All Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he alone of Jeroboam's family will come to the grave, because in him something good was found toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will raise up for himself a king over Israel who will cut off the house of Jeroboam this day and from now on. For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He will uproot Israel from this good land which he gave to their fathers, and will scatter them beyond the Euphrates River, because they have made their Asherim, provoking the Lord to anger. He will give up Israel on account of the sins of Jeroboam, which he committed, and with which he made Israel to sin." Then Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tirzah. As she was entering the threshold of the house, the child died. All Israel buried him and mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through his servant Ahijah the prophet. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam, how he made war and how he reigned, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. The time that Jeroboam reigned was 22 years, and he slept with his fathers, and Nadab his son reigned in his place. Now Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah.
Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy more than all that their fathers had done with the sins which they committed. For they also built for themselves high places and sacred pillars, and Asherim on every high hill, and beneath every luxuriant tree. There were also male cult prostitutes in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. Now it happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house, and he took everything, even taking all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. So King Rehoboam made shields of bronze in their place, and committed them to the care of the commanders of the guard, who guarded the doorway of the king's house. Then it happened, as often as the king entered the house of the Lord, that the guards would carry them, and would bring them back into the guard's room. Now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. And Rehoboam slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And Abijam his son became king in his place. 1 Kings chapter 15. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah the daughter of Abishalom. He walked in all the sins of his father which he had committed before him, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God, like the heart of his father David. But for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, to raise up his son after him, and to establish Jerusalem, because David did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the case of Uriah the Hittite. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. Now the rest of the acts of Abijam, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son became king in his place. So in the 20th year of Jeroboam, the king of Israel, Asa began to reign as king of Judah. He reigned 41 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. He also put away the male cult prostitutes from the land, and removed all the idols which his fathers had made. He also removed Maacah, his mother, from being queen mother, because she had made a horrid image as an Asherah, and Asa cut down her horrid image, and burned it at the brook of Kidron. But the high places were not taken away. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was wholly devoted to the Lord all his days. He brought into the house of the Lord the dedicated things of his father and his own dedicated things, silver and gold and utensils. Now there was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going out or coming in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold which were left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the treasuries of the king's house, and delivered them into the hand of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, the son of Tabrimmon, the son of Hezion, the king of Aram, who lived in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, and as between my father and your father. Behold, I have sent you a present of silver and gold. Go, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa, and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and conquered Ijon, Dan, Abel-Beth-Maacah, and all Kinneroth, besides all the land of Naphtali. When Baasha heard of it, he ceased fortifying Ramah, and remained in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation to all Judah. None was exempt. And they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber, with which Baasha had built. And King Asa built with them Geba of Benjamin and Mizpah. Now the rest of all the acts of Asa, and all his might, and all that he did, and the cities which he built, Are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? But in the time of his old age he was diseased in his feet, and Asa slept with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place. Now Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, became king over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in his sin which he made Israel sin. Then Baasha, the son of Ahijah, of the house of Issachar, conspired against him, and Baasha struck him down at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, while Nadab and all Israel were laying siege to Gibbethon. So Baasha killed him in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. It came about, as soon as he was king, he struck down all the household of Jeroboam. He did not leave to Jeroboam any persons alive until he had destroyed them, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite, and because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned and which made Israel sin, because of his provocation with which he provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger. Now the rest of the acts of Nadab and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, the son of Ahijah, became king over all Israel at Tirzah, and reigned 24 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin, which he made Israel sin. 1 Kings chapter 16. Yahweh's word came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, "Because I exalted you out of the dust, and made you prince over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam, and have made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins, behold, I will utterly sweep away Baasha and his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The dogs will eat Baasha's descendants who die in the city, and he who dies of his in the field, the birds of the sky will eat." Now the rest of the acts of Baasha and what he did, and his might, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Baasha slept with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah, and Elah his son reigned in his place. Moreover, Yahweh's word came by the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha and against his house, both because of all the evil that he did in Yahweh's sight, to provoke him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he struck him. In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, began to reign over Israel in Tirzah for 2 years. His servant Zimri, captain of half of his chariots, conspired against him. Now he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, who was over the household in Tirzah, and Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. When he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, he attacked all the house of Baasha. He didn't leave him a single one who urinates on a wall among his relatives or his friends. Thus Zimri destroyed all the house of Baasha, according to Yahweh's word which he spoke against Baasha by Jehu the prophet, for all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, which they sinned, and with which they made Israel to sin, to provoke Yahweh, the God of Israel, to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah, and all that he did, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned 7 days in Tirzah. Now the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. The people who were encamped heard that Zimri had conspired and had also killed the king. Therefore all Israel made Omri, the captain of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. When Zimri saw that the city was taken, he went into the fortified part of the king's house, and burned the king's house over him with fire, and died, for his sins which he sinned in doing that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, in walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri, and his treason that he committed, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibni the son of Ginath to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people who followed Omri prevailed against the people who followed Tibni the son of Ginath, so Tibni died and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri began to reign over Israel for 12 years. He reigned 6 years in Tirzah. He bought the hill Samaria of Shemer for 2 talents of silver, and he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built, Samaria, after the name of Shemer, the owner of the hill. Omri did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight, and dealt wickedly above all who were before him. For he walked in all the way of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and in his sins with which he made Israel to sin, to provoke Yahweh, the God of Israel, to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, which he did, and his might that he showed, aren't they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Omri slept with his fathers, and was buried in Samaria, and Ahab his son reigned in his place. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri began to reign over Israel. Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Ahab the son of Omri did that which was evil in Yahweh's sight above all that were before him. As if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, he took as wife Jezebel the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He raised up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Ahab made the Asherah, and Ahab did more yet to provoke Yahweh, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho. He laid its foundation with the loss of Abiram his firstborn, and set up its gates with the loss of his second son, Segub, according to Yahweh's word, which he spoke by Joshua the son of Nun. 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah the Tishbite, who was one of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As Yahweh the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Then Yahweh's word came to him, saying, "Go away from here, turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to Yahweh's word, for he went and lived by the brook Cherith that is before the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. After a while the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. Yahweh's word came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar, that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." She said, "As Yahweh your God lives, I don't have a cake, but a handful of meal in a jar, and a little oil in a jar. Behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and bake it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but make me a little cake from it first, and bring it out to me, and afterward make some for you and for your son. For Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of meal will not run out, and the jar of oil will not fail, until the day that Yahweh sends rain on the earth.'" She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house ate many days. The jar of meal didn't run out, and the jar of oil did not fail, according to Yahweh's word, which he spoke by Elijah. After these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. She said to Elijah, "What have I to do with you, you man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to memory and to kill my son." He said to her, "Give me your son." He took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the room where he stayed, and laid him down on his own bed. He cried to Yahweh and said, "Yahweh, my God, have you also brought evil on the widow with whom I'm staying by killing her son?" He stretched himself on the child 3 times and cried to Yahweh and said, "Yahweh, my God, please let this child's soul come into him again." Yahweh listened to the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the room into the house, and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, "Behold, your son lives." The woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that Yahweh's word in your mouth is truth." 1 Kings chapter 18. After many days, Yahweh's word came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth." Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. The famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared Yahweh greatly, for when Jezebel cut off Yahweh's prophets, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, "Go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass and save the horses and mules alive, that we not lose all the animals." So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him. He recognized him and fell on his face and said, "Is it you, my lord Elijah?" He answered him, "It is I. Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here." He said, "How have I sinned that you would deliver your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As Yahweh your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my lord is not sent to seek you." When they said, "He is not here," he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they didn't find you. Now you say, "Go tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here." It will happen as soon as I leave you that Yahweh's spirit will carry you I don't know where. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he can't find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared Yahweh from my youth. Wasn't it told my lord what I did when Jezebel killed Yahweh's prophets, how I hid 100 men of Yahweh's prophets with 50 to a cave and fed them with bread and water? Now you say, 'Go, tell your lord, behold, Elijah is here. He will kill me.'" Elijah said, "As Yahweh of armies lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" He answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you have forsaken Yahweh's commandments, and you have followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel to Mount Carmel, and 450 of the prophets of Baal, and 400 of the prophets of the Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent to all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together to Mount Carmel. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you waver between the two sides? If Yahweh is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." The people didn't say a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left as a prophet of Yahweh, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them, therefore, give us 2 bulls, and let them choose 1 bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bull, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. You call on the name of your God, and I will call on Yahweh's name. The God who answers by fire, let him be God." All the people answered, "What you say is good." Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose 1 bull for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it." They took the bull which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, "Baal, hear us." But there was no voice, and nobody answered. They leaped about the altar which was made. At noon, Elijah mocked them and said, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is deep in thought, or he has gone somewhere, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he sleeps and must be awakened." They cried aloud and cut themselves in their way with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. When midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the evening offering, but there was no voice, no answer, and nobody paid attention. Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me," and all the people came near to him. He repaired Yahweh's altar that had been torn down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom Yahweh's word came, saying, Israel shall be your name. With the stones he built an altar in Yahweh's name. He made a trench around the altar, large enough to contain 2 seahs of seed. He put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood. He said, Fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. He said, Do it a second time, and they did it the second time. He said, Do it a third time, and they did it the third time. The water ran around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. At the time of the evening offering, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, Yahweh, hear me, that this people may know that you, Yahweh, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again. Then Yahweh's fire fell, and consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, Yahweh, He is God! Yahweh, He is God! Elijah said to them, Seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let one of them escape. They seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and killed them there. Elijah said to Ahab, Get up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, Go up now and look toward the sea. He went up and looked and said, There is nothing. He said, Go again, 7 times. On the 7th time he said, Behold, a small cloud, like a man's hand, is rising out of the sea. He said, Go up, tell Ahab, Get ready and go down, so that the rain doesn't stop you. In a little while the sky grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Yahweh's hand was on Elijah, and he tucked his cloak into his belt and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel.
In chapter 17, we were introduced to Elijah, who, as we will come to see, is a significant figure in the Old Testament, and his appearance in 1 Kings chapter 17 is the first mention of him. And Scripture doesn't give us any background on him, no genealogy, nothing other than the fact that he was a Tishbite, who was one of the settlers of Gilead, as it says here in the World English Bible Version, or the NIV says that he's from Tishbe. What I want to talk to you about today is found in chapter 18. A lot of great things happen in this chapter, and the main event, in my opinion, is that Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal to prove their God was real. Elijah had a lot of faith, didn't he? Now, this is not the sort of thing that I would encourage anyone to do, but the people of Israel were at a critical juncture. They had so turned from God that something dramatic needed to be done. So this not really a contest was set up, and all morning long the 450 prophets of Baal cried out to, let's face it, nothing, to send down fire to consume the offering. And then at noon, Elijah begins making fun of them. I like this guy. Listen, most translations are very restrained in the way they render verse 27. The World English Bible translation that we read today has it this way. He said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is deep in thought, or he's gone somewhere, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he sleeps and must be awakened. But that really is not accurate. We get a hint of the more accurate translation in the English Standard Version, where Elijah said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. And then the complete Jewish Bible gets it even closer. Shout louder. After all, he's a god, isn't he? Maybe he's daydreaming, or he's on the potty, or he's away on a trip. Maybe he's asleep, and you have to wake him up. All right, relieving himself? On the potty? Guess what? What he really said there is, maybe he's taking a dump. Now, don't let anybody tell you that God doesn't have a sense of humor. So Elijah had some fun with these false prophets. Gutsy guy, right? Here he is facing down 450 of them, and he's making fun of their gods. You gotta love that. And then, when it was time for God to show himself to be the God of Israel and all creation, Elijah had the sacrifice and the wood and the altar just drenched three different times. The water ran off the altar and filled the trench that Elijah had dug around the altar. And after Elijah prayed, God not only sent fire to consume the offering, but the wood and the stones and the dust and all the water in the trench. I love it when God answers prayer in abundance, don't you? So many times we think small when we pray, don't we? We forget that nothing is too great for God. We forget that He has no limits. So the next time you have a need, remember what He did the day He proved Himself to the prophets of Baal and the entire nation of Israel. What are your thoughts? Leave a comment at lifespringmedia.com/S12E174. And of course, you can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Our reading tomorrow will be Psalms 75 through 77. I'm going to change it up just a little bit today. Let's do prayer requests now, shall we? Well, Kathy's surgery should be tomorrow. You never know with hospitals. They can change things on you, but we'll plan on that. So let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it is really good to know that you have a sense of humor. As we look around and as I look in the mirror, we know you must have a sense of humor. But to have it confirmed with today's reading is really great. We get so focused on your holiness and your righteousness that we sometimes forget. But being reminded is fun. Of course, another confirmation is that your word tells us that we're made in your image. And part of that image is having a sense of humor. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that gift. It makes living in a fallen world just a little bit easier to put up with. So we praise you and we thank you for it. And Lord, now we pray for something that's very serious, at least for us. I know in your eyes, this is an easy request, but we pray that Kathy's surgery will go well tomorrow. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring healing. Lord, you burnt that altar completely up, and so healing Kathy is just a trifle for you. We want your will to be done, but again, I ask that you bring healing. And I thank you, Lord, for the LifeSpring family and how some have responded to my request to support the show. I know it's a sacrifice for some, and I ask that you bless each one in a very, very special way. And for all of the LifeSpring family, I pray that you will show your love for them, and may they feel your presence in their lives. And where there are needs, Lord, meet them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a prayer request or a praise, please send it in at prayer.lifespringmedia.com.
Boost.
Boost.
Colleen Suter came in with a $50 donation. Thank you, Colleen. God bless you, my sister. I so appreciate it. This is wonderful. And a 500-sat boostagram came in from Sean of
San Pedro
on the Fountain app. He said, I just heard Saturday's reading. If I'd told someone about that heinous act, I would expect them to respond with condemnation for Pilate. It's interesting that Jesus didn't even address that part of it, as if what Pilate did wasn't even interesting to him. Maybe more likely that there was nothing for the crowd to learn from that part. And he said, we're praying for Kathy's healing one way or another. Well, Sean, thank you for that comment. Yep, you're right. I think what it was is it's a little bit like, do you remember when King David and Bathsheba's child was sick and David was just pleading before the Lord to heal him, but when he died, he just kind of picked himself up and went on, and his servants said, we were afraid to tell you that the child died because of how you acted before he died. So how can you just get back to life as normal now? And David said, well, when he was sick, there was a chance for him. Now that he's gone, I know I'll see him in heaven. So I think Jesus didn't dwell on what Pilate did because it wasn't going to change. And again, there was that lesson that he wanted the people to learn. So that's my two cents. And just before I started recording this, I got another boostagram from Sean of
San Pedro.
I'm sorry. I just love doing that. He said, Sunday's passage was the basis for a study we did in premarital counseling. What valuable instructions. For any LifeSpring family members considering marriage, please do yourself a favor and take advantage of premarital counseling. Totally agree, Sean. Totally agree. The fact is, you don't know what it's like to be married until you've been married, and then the surprises that come along can be surprising to you. So if you take the premarital counseling, it will help you get over the humps. When Leanne and I first got married, that first year was really, really hard. Leanne was almost 30 years old when we got married, so she was pretty well set in her ways. She had been single as an adult for quite some time, so she knew how she wanted to live her life. I, unfortunately, had gone through a bad marriage, and so there were things we both had to learn. Thankfully, we were both committed to the marriage. There was no way we were going to get out of it, and so we worked our way through it. But that first year was rough, and we had had some counseling. So even with good counseling, it can be difficult. So, yeah, take advantage of every opportunity you have to get good premarital counseling before you get married, if there's anybody out there thinking about getting married. Sean, thank you for those boostergrams. I appreciate it, brother. And thank you for praying for Kathy. On this date in church history, February 22nd, 1906, Louisiana-born Baptist evangelist, and that Baptist is going to be surprising in just a moment, Baptist evangelist William J. Seymour arrived in Los Angeles, and he began holding evangelistic meetings at the Apostolic Faith Mission, located at 312 Azusa Street. The Azusa Street Revival soon broke out under Seymour's leadership and became one of the landmark events in the history of 20th century American Pentecostalism. And now you know why the Baptist part is surprising. And on this date in church history, February 22nd, 1985, Alexander Scorby, the American film actor, whose most memorable screen role was in Giant in 1956, passed away. He was best known for his resonant bass elocution, and he read the King James Version on early audio cassette tape recordings of the Bible. And when I used to work in Christian bookstores, we sold a ton of Alexander Scorby Bible on cassette tapes. And I remember thinking, how could anybody sit there and record the entire Bible? It's funny what the Lord does with us sometimes, isn't it? I would have never guessed. Here's a little bit of what Scorby sounded like.
Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
Well, beloved, that brings us to the end. Share the show, would you? Comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E174. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. And please support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. I enjoy your company. It wouldn't be the same without you. My name is Steve Webb. Bye.